Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning about the Amidah Part 2. This is Siman Yudches, the 18th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Last time we looked at four concepts that were focus, timing, position, and direction. This time we're going to be looking at five concepts, and they are the beginning of the Amidah, the bowing in the Amidah, the ending of the Amidah, interruptions, and finally behavior of others or around when davening the Shemoneh Esrei. Let's start at the top. We're going to start off. Our first concept today is the beginning of the Amidah. Just a basic background. The Amidah, our Amidah is broken up into three basic sections, and they are Shevach, Bakasha, and Hadar, praise of Hashem. Then request or supplication, and then Hodah, thanksgiving. That's how the Shemoneh Esrei is always broken up into, except on the Shabbos and Yom Tov, where the middle section of supplication is replaced with the Kedusha Zayom, where we talk about the sanctity of the day in one bracha instead of the 13 middle supplications. But that is how it's structured. It's worthwhile noting that if one looks in the middle section, which is the part that is variable between the weekday and Shabbos, there are 13 brachas there, assuming that Shema Koleinu is the catch-all, which is the sort of the capstone of all of those 13, then there are really 12 brachas there. And if one divides them up into individual versus communal and spiritual versus physical, it's interesting to know that they form a very fascinating pattern. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks observes this in his introduction to the Korin Sacks Siddur, in which he points out that the first three brachos, Bina, Teshuvah, and Slicha, about knowledge, repentance, and atonement, are about individual requests for spiritual gain, for spiritual ideas. The next three brachos, which are Geula, redemption from argument, Refuah, healing, and Birkas Hashanim, sustenance, are all individual requests, but they are physical requests, physical success. So we move from individual spiritual three brachos, individual physical three brachos. We move to the next three, which are Kibbutz, Galias, Din, and Birkas Minim, ingathering of the exiles, justice, and the cursing of the heretics. Those are communal requests, and they are physical requests. And finally, the last three are Tzadikim, Yerushalayim, and Malchus Beis David, which is blessing of the righteous, rebuilding Jerusalem, and the Mashiach. And those are communal requests which are spiritual, which means that the areas of supplication are divided, of those 12 main brachos, they are divided into three sections, which form a chiasm, which means the pattern is ABBA, which means the first six are individual, the last six are communal. The first section, the first quarter are individual spiritual, the last quarter are communal spiritual, and the middle two are physical, individual physical, and communal physical. So it goes ABBA in terms of the patterning. It's very precise as to how the Shemoneh Esrei is set up. This is not a hodgepodge of just a bunch of requests. It all makes a whole lot of sense. Now, when we look at it, let's start at the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, see some of the practices that are associated with the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. Number one, when do I start the Amidah? So when I'm finishing up in the morning, the Birkas Kriya Shema of MS V'yatziv, then I get to the area which is Tilos Lekel Elyon. At that point in time, I need to stand up and take three steps backwards. And at that point also, I'm supposed to clear my mind, remove the phlegm from my mouth, so I'm in a position to greet the Almighty. All of the preparation up to now has been to get to this Amidah. What's this business about the three steps backwards and forwards? Why is this? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yehuda Rokeach wrote a Kabbalistic Sefer called the Sefer Rokeach in the 13th century, and he makes the observation that there are three times that the Torah uses the word Vayigash, and he approached. One is when Avram approached Hashem in Parshas Vayera to plead on behalf of Sodom. The next is when Yehuda in Parshas Vayigash, that's the first word of the parsha, approaches Yosef to plead on behalf of his brother Binyamin. And the third time is in Sefer Melachim, Aleph, Perek Yod Ches, when Eliyahu comes to Hashem at Har Carmel and prays that his sacrifice be accepted over that of the sacrifices of the prophets of Baal. The Rokeach points out that these are three different types of prayer, so meaning to say that the first is about a person praying for somebody not of their like, not of their tribe, not of their family, and the request is based on the notion of justice. Hashofet kol aretz lo yaaseh mishpat. The second is about a person requesting on behalf of somebody who's their brethren, somebody very close to them, and the request is not about justice at all, it's about mercy. The third one is about the request is not for an individual, not for a nation, it's for Hashem himself, and the basis of the request is Kiddush Shem Shemaim, is bringing Hashem into the world. The Rokeach points out that when we take the three steps forward, we are Vayigash, we are coming close in these three different capacities, in three different ways in which we request for prayer, as expressed by these three personalities throughout the course of history. What happens between the words Goal Yisrael, the end of the third bracha, the Kriya Shema, and the Amidah? Nothing. Nothing should happen then. This is the idea of what's called Simichas Geula Letfila, a very important idea of making proximate the redemption from Egypt and praying, and therefore one cannot even say anything. What about the Amen? Let's say I hear the Chazan say Goal Yisrael, and I'm also at that same point. Can I say Amen? The answer is no. One should not say Amen in that case, and this can be avoided in one of three ways. Number one is the Chazan will say it quietly, therefore obviating the need to respond Amen. Another option is that everybody says it out loud together, because one doesn't answer a bracha one says oneself. Or the third option, as the Kitzur suggests, is rushing a little ahead to start Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Hashem open my lips. And then at that point, one's already in the Shemona Esrei and will not be able to answer the bracha itself as well. Notice that in the afternoon prayers, there's no Geula bracha because there's no Kriya Shema. In the evening, although there is a Geula bracha, it's interrupted by another two brachas and a Kaddish, therefore less consequential about this about answering Amen in that space as well. What is this other pasuk I sometimes see in the Siddurim, which is just Ki Shem Hashem Ekra? So that's a pasuk in Ha'azino Hashem, as I call out to you, as I mention your name, I'll give greatness to Hashem. But this is only said, if you'll notice in the Siddurim, at Mincha and Musaf, when there is no Geula Bracha, that's proximate to the Shemona Esrei, and that's why I can add this pasuk, which is a later adaption, which is therefore seen as interruption in the case where there would be a Geula Bracha. This finishes our first concept. Our second concept is bowing. We know that we bow four times in the Shemona Esrei, and that is at the beginning and the end of the first Bracha and the beginning and the end of the 18th Bracha. There's only two Brachas in which bowing are had, and at the beginning and the end of those Brachas. How do I bow? So the first is when I say the word Baruch, I bend my knees. That's related to the word Berech. Berech is a knee. When I say Baruch, I bend my knees in submission. When I say Atah, I bend at the hips, bend downwards. And when I say, just before I say the word of Hashem, the name of Hashem, I say Adoshem. At that point, I rise up slowly, slower than the way I go down, which is faster. The way it's described in Halacha is kichivya, like a serpent. So one's head is rising up slowly with one's back as well. If one is doing moedim, which is the third of the bowings, there's no baruch, so there's no knee bending, one just bows at the hips. And then when one reaches the name of Hashem, Shoa Tohu Hashem Elokeinu, as one reaches the name of Hashem, one rises up. Why does one rise up when one gets to Hashem's name? The pasuk says, Hashem Zokev Kefufim. God is the one who rises those who are bent over, and so therefore that is expressed. Whenever I say Hashem's name, I'm always raising myself at that point in time. How much should I bow? So the vertebra of the back should be sticking out, so they should be protruding, but not so much so that in my mouth is reaching the level of my belt. That's too much. So therefore, it's sort of this middle level of submission. What if a person is sick? If a person is sick and cannot bend their back properly, they may bend their head down, and that would be sufficient. Can I do more bowing? I'm feeling very grateful today. Am I allowed to do more of that? No. In those cases, you're only allowed to bow in those four designated spots as well. But one is allowed to keep one's head down in humility, but not as bowing throughout the course of the Shemona Esrei. As long as it's clearly differentiated from the time one's doing the real bowing at the end of the beginning of these brachas. We move to our third concept today, and that is the end of the Shemona Esrei. We know that after we finish the 19th bracha of the Shemona Esrei, there's a short supplication called Elokeinu Tzor Lashoni Me'ra, which we say after, is a short paragraph, after which we say we take leave of Hashem in the Amidah. So a few basic questions. How do I take my leave of Hashem? So after Elokeinu Shama and Netzor, I say, before I say Oseh Shalom, I bow my head down a little bit, take three steps backwards, bow to the left when saying Oseh Shalom B'Romav, bow to the right when saying Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, and then lean forward in the bowing of Yuval Kol Yisrael V'Imru Amen. That's how one leaves the presence of Hashem. What is the meaning of the Elokeinu Tzor? So I once had this situation where somebody complained about something, and they were complaining about something which wasn't done in Shul, and I took the great effort to rectify that situation, and the situation was rectified, and that person, A, wasn't there when the situation was rectified, and B, even when it did, they were there, they didn't acknowledge it at all. So I spent a huge amount of effort doing all this for this particular person, and it was there wasn't even an expression of gratitude. They weren't even aware that the thing had been rectified, and it was a very visible thing that needed to be rectified. And then I realized to myself, and I said, wait a second, I wasn't doing it for that person. I was doing it because that was actually a genuine idea, that this is something which is really important to be done. Happens to be this person mentioned it to me, but I shouldn't be doing it for anybody. I should be doing it because it's the right thing to be done, and I don't need the gratefulness of the person who complained. I want to be doing things because it's the right thing, and I don't want to have to care about what other people think about. And that's exactly what we say in Elokeinu Tzor Lashoni Me'ra. Hashem, please allow me not to speak evil about other people. Don't think badly, but don't let them think badly about me. And if they do think badly about me, don't let me worry about it, because all I want to do is Psachli B'Besorasecho V'Mitzasecho Tejav Navshi. I want to do the right thing, not because other people want me to do it, not because they don't want me to do it, not because of or despite other people. Don't let them speak bad of me. Don't let me speak bad of them. Let me do the right thing because it's the right thing. And that's sort of taking the transition of the ideas we talk about in the Shemona Esrei as we move outwards as well, which is the bracha of Elokai. It's not a very powerful prayer. Why do we bow to the left first in this case? Isn't the right usually the predominant case? The way the answer is yes, but you're actually imagining facing Hashem, the Shekhinah, the divine presence. So the right of the Shekhinah is to your left. That's why you bow to the left first. Why do I take my left foot back first when I'm taking the steps away? The reason is because it shows hesitation. If you're a right-handed person, that means you're a right-footed person. And it means the first step you take when you're going down or upstairs is your right foot. So when you want to leave the presence of Hashem, you take your left foot to ensure that you are not rushing out. What happens if I'm left-footed? In that case, you do the opposite, your right foot first. What do I say when I've taken my three steps back and I leave? You say the special Yiratzon, a special prayer that Hashem should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the Shemone Esrei is in the place of Korbanos. And so now we've just done this prayer, which is in the place of Korbanos. So we acknowledge Hashem, this is not the full expression of your praise. We would ask for a time where we could do this properly, which is when we will have the Beis HaMikdash back as well. And finally, last question over here is, when am I allowed to take the steps back again? Meaning I've taken three steps back. When can I come back to, so to speak, to neutral, back into life? I have to wait in that standing position without being distracted, without moving around, without sitting down, until a chazan gets to Chazaras HaShatz and gets to Kedusha, at least at Mincha and at Shachris. And if this is a very long time, let's say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's very long, or it's a very tzafuf place, it's a very crowded or cramped place, one can wait until the Shmoneh Esrei, the Chazaras HaShatz, the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei, is started by the Baal Tefillah. Let's move to our next concept today. Our next concept is interruptions in the Amidah. So what if I'm in the middle of my silent Shmoneh Esrei and I hear Kaddish, Kedusha, Shema? May I answer? The answer is no. One is not allowed to answer. One listens silently, not saying the words, and then continues after they are finished. And it is considered like one has said it, but one does not interrupt even for that. That's the degree of severity of one Shmoneh Esrei. What happens if I need a hint to somebody about where to put that or where to get this or just to wait? One is not allowed to do this. One cannot use one's eyes. One cannot use one's mouth. One's hands to indicate somebody. Communication is not allowed when one is in the presence of the Almighty. At what point may I start responding to things? So when one finishes the 19th bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Amvorech Ezamo Yisrael Bashalom, then when one finishes that and one starts the Elokai Nitzar, one may start answering as one would be able to answer in the Birkos Kriya Shema, to Kedusha, to Kaddish, and to the internal parts of the Kedusha, which are Kaddish, 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 and Baruch Hashem Im Kamoi. But more than that, not only specific amens. What happens if I already said the Yiyu L'Ratzon, which is the prayer that Hashem, you should answer, you should see what's inside our hearts. In that case, one can even start answering the rest of the amens, not just the specific, more high-level amens. What is this business at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei? I see that in the Elokai Nitzar, there's this business about one's names and psukim. So the Kitzur mentions this concept that there are psukim in the Torah and in Tanakh, which begin and end with different letters, and at the back of many Siddurim, they have the different permutations. So if a person's name is Moshe, then the name begins with a mem and ends with a hey. There are psukim in the Torah which can be found with a mem at the beginning and a hey at the end, and those psukim have a certain relationship to that person and their life mission. And so therefore a person should be mentioning those psukim at that point in time because it relates to what they're supposed to be doing in the world as well. Very powerful idea. What happens if I have an urge to go to the bathroom before I start the Shmoneh Esrei, but I can really hold it in? It's not like really the end of the world. Can I daven? The answer is no. If one needs to go to the bathroom, one cannot daven, even if one can hold it in, and one will need to go before one starts as well. What happens if I started with no urge in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei? I now have an urge. So in that case, one would hold it in till the end and then wait in going, assuming that a person is not sick or unusually it has an unusual condition, that if a person started without needing it, one should be able to get to the end without being a problem of Baal Teshuktzo, so making it disgusting. What happens if I need to pass gas and I cannot hold it in physically during the Shmoneh Esrei? So if one knows it's coming and one simply physically cannot hold it in, one would take a walk back for almost about 7 feet, pass the gas, wait until the smell dissipates, return to one's place, and then say the following lines in the Siddurim. Ribbono Olamim, Yetzartano, Nekovim, Nekovim, Chalolim, Chalolim, Goluv, Yodol, Lefonecha, Cherposenu, Klimosen, Hashem, you created us with all these apertures. You created us so frail. Look at us. Look how disgraceful we are. Cherpo, Beklima, Bechayenu, Rimo, Vesoloya, Bemoesenu. We're frail, we're embarrassed, we're disgraced in our lives, and we are dust and worms after our death. And then it's an acknowledgement of the frailty, Hashem, with which you created us, and then one returns to one's prayer. What happens if the gas already came out, and I'm too embarrassed to move back? In that case, one just waits till the smell dissipates and continues. Why not Ribbono Olamim? Why not special prayer in this case? Because there's no public expression of that kelima, of that shame, and therefore one doesn't say that Ribbono Shel Olam. If I've been drinking alcohol, May I say that Amira, the answer is no. If one cannot, is one is not in a position to be able to speak in front of a king or a dignitary, one would not be allowed to say the Shmona Esrei. What happens if I already davened in such a state? It was the Purim, I wanted to get the mincha out of the way, I was already a little intoxicated, and I already davened. Was that all right? The answer is no. That prayer did not count, and therefore one would need to re-pray afterwards. That is considered an abomination. What happens if I will miss the time of davening, the Zman Tfilah, if I wait? Well, in that case, you still have to wait, and then you would miss that Tfilah, and you have to deal with the halachas of Tashlumim, of making it up later on. Finally, fifth and last concept for today, and that is the concept of behavior around others who are davening. When one is davening the Amidah, one is having a personal interaction with the Shechina, with the Almighty Divine Presence, and therefore there's a Hashras Shechina in that person's vicinity. That requires certain actions or inactions of those around them. So, let's deal with the questions. Question number one. May I sit around somebody who's davening the Amidah? The answer is no. One is not allowed to sit in the four amos around a person, in the 7 feet around that person who is davening the Shmona Esrei, unless one is on the side or behind the person, and while sitting is either praying or learning to prayer or to davening. What if I'm learning Torah next to them? So there are those who permit sitting next to or behind a person when learning Torah, but it can't be thinking Torah. It has to be actually with a book open, learning Torah itself to allow one to sit down. What happens if I'm in front of a person during the Amidah? So one may stand, but one may not sit down. The entire range of eyesight in front of that person, because it looks like otherwise they are praying to you as you sit there on your throne. What if the person is weak or sick and needs to sit down? In that case, they may sit. What if I was sitting before and this fellow comes in and starts davening? So if he starts davening next to or behind me or in front of me, then it's fine for me to continue even if I'm not learning about prayer or learning Torah. But if he comes and he stands behind me, then I need to stand up and move to the side if that person daven in such a way. But what if I was in a shul and that's where I was sitting and somebody comes to daven next to me, I would need to stand up or start learning Torah, because a shul is permission for any person at any time to come and daven. That's the point of a shul. May I walk in front of somebody who's davening? The answer is no. Why not? Because for two reasons. Number one, it distracts that person davening. And number two, the Shechina is in their presence and you are mafsik. You are interrupting in that person's space between them and the Divine Presence. What if I'm davening in front of somebody? So one cannot take the three steps back of the Shmona Esrei, and one has to remain in one's place until that person has finished the Shmona Esrei, because otherwise you will be entering into their Dalet Amos of the Shechina being in front of them. What happens if I'm diagonally in front of them, like a chessboard, a black-to-black square, so then I can walk backwards to the white square? That's not a problem at all. Are there any exceptions? The answer is yes. If a person has parked themselves in a walkway, this often happens when a minyan gets filled up late and people walk in late, they start davening at the back of the shul and they're in the walkway. One is allowed to walk in front of them because that is considered that they're in the inadequate place, and therefore it is allowed for me as well. This concludes the halachas of the Shmona Esrei. Obviously a huge amount of halachas, even though we broke it up into 2 days, there's a huge amount to be learnt. And Be'ezrat Hashem, with us, hopefully this is a good groundwork, a good framework for further questions. Have a wonderful and meaningful